and welcome to St. Columba's on this, the 10th Sunday after Trinity, for our service of morning prayer, which begins on page 101. We welcome visitors in particular who are joining us for our worship this morning. You're all very welcome indeed. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Beloved in Christ, we come together to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour, in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
O Lord, open our lips.
And our mouth will proclaim your praise.
O God, make speed to save us.
O Lord, make haste to help us.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
The Lord's name be praised.
The psalm appointed, Psalm number 111, which we join together in saying. Alleluia, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart, in the company of the faithful and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, sought out by all who delight in them. His work is full of majesty and honour, and his righteousness endures forever. He appointed a memorial for his marvellous deeds. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He gave food to those who feared him. He is ever mindful of his covenant. He showed his people the power of his works in giving them the heritage of the nations. The works of his hands are truth and justice. All his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever. They are done in truth and equity. He sent redemption to his people. He commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have those who live by it. His praise endures forever. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our weekly unfolding of the great sagas of Hebrew history jumps on from Joseph, hated by his brothers, to Joseph, the saviour of his brothers. They find him in a powerful position in Egypt as they seek famine relief, but at first they do not recognise him. The Old Testament reading is from Genesis chapter 45, beginning at verse 1. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried out, "Send everyone away from me." So no one stayed with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard it, and the household of Pharaoh heard it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him. So dismayed were they by his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come closer to me." And they came closer. He said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold to Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. And the famine has been in the land for these 2 years, and they are there for 5 more years, in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. God sent me before you to preserve you, a remnant on earth, and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go to my father, and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not delay. You shall settle in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, you and your children and your children's children, as well as your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. I will provide for you, since there are 5 more years of famine to come, so that your household and all that you have will not come to poverty. And now your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see that it is my own mouth that speaks to you. You must tell my father how greatly I am honored in Egypt and all that you have seen. Hurry and bring my father down here.' Then he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, while Benjamin wept upon his neck. And he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. And after that, his brothers talked with him."
We stand and say part one of the Canticle Te Deum. We praise you, O God. We acclaim you as the Lord. All creation worships you, the Father everlasting. To you, all angels, all the powers of heaven, the cherubim and seraphim sing in endless praise. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. The glorious company of apostles praise you. The noble fellowship of prophets praise you. The white-robed army of martyrs praise you. Throughout the world, the Holy Church acclaims you, Father of majesty unbounded, your true and only Son, worthy of all praise, the Holy Spirit, advocate and guide.
New Testament reading is from Hebrews, is from Matthew chapter 15, beginning at verse 21. The Hebrew prophets had a vision of the breadth of God's love, reaching far beyond their own race. Matthew here shows us Jesus confronted by a non-Jewish woman who begs for his compassion. Perhaps he is surprised by her, or perhaps he presents a challenge to her. Matthew chapter 15, verses 21. Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish. And her daughter was healed instantly.
We stand and we say the canticle, the song of wisdom. Wisdom is the brightness of eternal light, the spotless mirror of God's power at work, the image of God's goodness. Wisdom is but one, yet she can do all things. Herself unchanging, she makes all things new. Age after age, she enters holy souls and makes them friends of God and prophets, beloved of God as her companions. Wisdom is more beautiful than the sun, surpassing every constellation of the stars. Her radiance is greater than the light of day, for day's light is followed by the night. Against wisdom no evil can prevail. She reaches mightily from one end of the earth to the other, and orders all things well. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
May I speak in the name of our ever-living and ever-loving God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. That New Testament reading, the Gospel reading for today, takes us away up to the north of Israel, right up to almost to the borders of Lebanon, and there were the regions of Tyre and Sidon. Now, the thing about that region of Tyre and Sidon was that it was a non-Jewish part of Israel. It was a Gentile area. And therefore, to the Jews, that part of Israel, way, way up in the north, was indeed looked upon as beyond the pale. Beyond the pale, not only geographically, but also spiritually. Why was Jesus there? And why did he bring his disciples quite some distance away, way up to that part of the country? Was it to escape the crowds who were quite often running after him, wanting his healing miracles and wanting to learn what he had to say about the scriptures and about God? Maybe so. Or was it because he wanted to get away from the terrible tales that the Pharisees were telling about him? How could he be God's son? The things that he says, the things that he does, it's not what we believe. It's not what we expect from the Messiah. And so Jesus was constantly harassed by the authorities of the day, the scribes and the Pharisees. Maybe that's why he decided he needed to be away from it all, away up north, away beyond the pale for his own people. But then something happens that he doesn't expect. This non-Jewish woman comes up to him and she says, "Have mercy on me, son of David." What? Son of David? That's not a title that non-Jews would know. Jews, yes, were looking for the son of David. That was a messianic term. They would have been familiar with it, but not a Gentile. Why does a Gentile refer to this rather strange preacher as son of David? And she begs mercy from him. A strange thing, wasn't it? But the gospel gets even more strange, doesn't it? Because Jesus and his disciples pretend not to see her. They pretend not to hear her, and so they move on, ignoring this woman and ignoring her pleas. How strange. But the woman was obviously desperate, wasn't she? To coin a phrase, the lady's not for running away, she's not for turning. And so she keeps at him again. She wouldn't take no for an answer. Well, if she was desperate, she had a daughter who was very ill, maybe about to die. If you had a child who was very ill too, would you not be desperate, just like her? And however, the disciples decide to say, move on quickly, shoo her, tell her to go away. We don't want anything to do with this woman. She's a heathen. She's not one of us. Send her away. And so Jesus continues not to notice her. But instead, Jesus has to stop. Because the woman is not going to go away. The woman is going to keep on and on and on till she gets an answer from Jesus. So much so that Jesus does have to stop in his tracks. So much so that Jesus says to them, excuse me, I am sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In other words, my mission is primarily to my own people, the Jews, not to the Gentiles. Well, he was right. He wasn't saying anything wrong there. Yes, that was his mission. That was what he came to do. That is what he was baptized to do in the River Jordan when he saw heaven opening and the proclamation, you are the Son of God, you are my Son, in whom I am well pleased. And he was sent to his own people. So he wasn't saying anything wrong in that. But it was strange to this woman, wasn't it? It was almost as if she said to him, well, are you not a healer? I don't know who else you are, but I know you are a healer, and I have a problem. And if you're not going to heal, if you're not going to help, then why are you here? What have you come to do if you're not going to help? But Jesus was, I'm here to proclaim the kingdom of God to my own people. And you see, the problem was for Jesus that if he did start preaching and healing to non-Jews, well then, his own people would have cast doubts on his ministry. He would have been a bit of a traitor, wouldn't he, to his own people? He's preaching away here to non-Jews, and what about us? Surely his ministry is now jeopardized or in serious doubt. How dare he proclaim God's word and God's kingdom to these heathens? We can't have any of that, can we? So Jesus knew that. So it did make him uncomfortable. And that's why he said, I am here for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's my ministry. And so it was. He was right. But again, the woman is not for going away, is she? Lord, help me. She continues to cry out. And if that wasn't strange enough, the gospel passage gets even more strange, even more uncomfortable, if you like, for you and me. Because he answers her almost rudely. It is not fair to take the children's bread and to throw it to the dogs. What? Good grief. Does Jesus really think that? How would that go down well in today's society when we're so easily offended at what somebody might say? Because the Jews thought of the Gentiles as dogs. It was a terminology that they would have used. Even though in the original Greek, Jesus softens it and uses the word little puppy instead. It is not fair to take the children's bread and throw it to the little puppies. So he does soften the blow, but it's still there all the same. It still seems so strange, so out of character for Jesus to say something as rude and as derogatory as that. But again, he's testing her faith, isn't he? The woman continues not to be sent away. She continues to hold on to Jesus because she knows that he can and will heal. And so she turns it round to herself and she says, yes, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. In other words, even the Gentiles can share in the crumbs of the kingdom of God. We still have a part in God's world. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. We have echoes of that, haven't we, in our communion service, in the prayer of humble access, when we pray, we are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs from under your table, but you are the same Lord whose nature is always to have mercy. And just at that, that's when the heart of Jesus melts, totally melts away to nothing. Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done to you as you wish. Well, that's the story. That's the gospel passage. Really only just a few verses, but in that gospel passage we have all those strange and uncomfortable sayings of Jesus. So what does it tell us today? Well, doesn't it beg the question, what actually is the meaning of faith? Faith is seeing how God's plan works for us, even when it's not very flattering for us. Faith is when we cling to what Jesus says, even when we expect something different, even when we expect something better from Jesus. And faith is to pray in those terms rather than to assume that God is going to do exactly what we want and in our time. Surely that would be the great lesson that we could learn from this gospel passage. Strange words, strange events. The question is, have we cultivated enough faith to be able to see God's plan, no matter how strange, working its way out in our own lives? Let us pray. Lord God, give us the faith to ask for your help and the humility to receive it on your terms. Amen.
We stand.
to affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Show us your mercy, O Lord.
And grant
us O Lord, save the Queen.
And grant her wisdom.
Let your ministers be clothed with righteousness.
And
O Lord, save your people.
And bless those who you.
Give peace in our time, O Lord.
And let your glory be over all the earth.
O God, make clean our hearts within us.
And renew us by your Holy Spirit.
The collect for today, the 10th Sunday after Trinity. Let your merciful ears, O Lord, be open to the prayers of your humble servants, and that they may obtain their petitions. Make them to ask such things as shall please you, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
O God, the author of peace and lover of concord, to know you is eternal life, and to serve you is perfect freedom. Defend us in all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in your protection, may not fear the power of any adversaries, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. We join together in saying the fourth collect at morning prayer. Heavenly Father, in whom we live and move and have our being, we humbly pray that your Holy Spirit may so guide and govern us, that in all the cares and occupations of our daily life, we may never forget your presence, but may remember that we are always walking in your sight, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
We pray for the victims of terrorism in Barcelona, Finland, and elsewhere in the world. We pray for all whose lives have been touched by tragedy, whether by accident or a deliberate act, for those who mourn, immerse them in your love, and lead them through this darkness into your arms and light. For those who comfort, be in both the words they use and all that's left unspoken. Fill each heart with love. We ask this through Jesus Christ, whose own suffering brought us life, here and for eternity. Amen.
Amen.
We pray for young people receiving exam results and beginning the next stage of their education. Christ our Lord, you give us our lives, all that we are, our bodies and our minds. You inspire us to learn more about the world around us, about you, about ourselves and about one another. May we who enjoy the freedoms that you give us rejoice in our discoveries and work tirelessly for education for all. May those who take risks and make sacrifices for their own education or the education of others inspire us always in our pursuit of learning and the life of faith. May we learn from one another, gain the knowledge to build a better world, and realize the potential you give to all. Amen.
Amen.
Loving God, you call us to live as your people, to walk each day by your side, seeking your will, pursuing what is right, and showing your love in our attitudes towards others. Forgive us that we sometimes make your calls so complicated, losing sight of the things you really require. Forgive us that we become preoccupied with the trappings of faith rather than focusing on the essentials. Forgive us that we are often good at being religious, but poor at doing justice, loving kindness, and walking humbly with you. Loving God, help us to offer you the sort of lives you want to see and to be the people you would have us become. Teach us what you require, and by your grace, may we live as your people to the glory of your name. Amen.
Amen.
And the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all things come from you, and of your own we give you. Please be seated. You will see details in the insert flyer of your pew news about our forthcoming hog roast and barn dance to be held on Friday, September the 15th at 7 p.m. at the home of Tony and Clodagh Reid in Cumber. They are very kindly making their home available to us once more for what is, we know, a most enjoyable and entertaining evening. In order to help us with many of the practical aspects
for the organising of this very important fundraising event. Tickets will be available this morning from Elizabeth Leonard, so do please see her before you leave. And also, the editor of the Columban, Billy McAlpine, has drawn a very good hog, and it's on the notice board at the main door and subdivided into 50 pieces. And what we're hoping to do is to cover the cost of the hog before the event starts. And all 50 names will be entered into a ballot on the evening itself. Quite a number of pieces of hog have already been sold, and they're £10 each. And if you would like to do that and to enter into it, please sign your name before you leave. This is going to be very much a back-to-autumn event as we all come back following the summer holidays and get going once more. An opportunity for parishioners of all ages, from children to great-grandparents, to come along for an evening of fun, good food and entertainment. And we do very much hope that you can come along and that the date is firmly in your diaries. Also to say, on the 2nd of September, Caroline McCartney, who's just beside me here, we all greatly appreciate Caroline's fantastic solo singing in church on many, many occasions. She's going on an overseas trip next year to India, and she's having a fundraising coffee morning in her home, which is 43 Listener Beedy Road. Have I got that right? Excellent. And she will be delighted to see you on the morning from 10:30. And all the proceeds are going towards the project she's working on. And it would be lovely as a parish if we could give something back to Caroline, really as a small token of our appreciation for all you do to enhance our worship here so often. And that is the 2nd of September. And finally, a practical matter. As you know, the First Trust Bank branch has closed in Ballyhackamore, and that was our parish bank branch. Many of you I know contribute to St. Columba's by standing orders. And what we are very much asking at this moment in time is, because the nearest First Trust Bank branch, that's a tongue twister, is in the centre of Belfast. And those parishioners who very kindly look after the lodging of the money really would be most grateful, as would we and the Select Vestry, if we could encourage those of you who are not yet subscribing to standing order, if maybe now you could consider to subscribe by that method. Simply from a security point of view, to reduce the level of cash in transit to get it to the bank. I would be grateful if you could give that careful reflection, and there are standing order forms at the back of church if you would like to contribute in that way to reflect the changes of the banking arrangements with the First Trust Bank. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for all those who are preparing for marriage at this time, in particular for those who will be married here in St. Columba's during this coming week, and we ask your blessing on Christine McKee and John Presco as they prepare to be married here on Friday. We pray for all of their families and for all those who are supporting them at this time, and we pray, O Lord, for your guidance upon them during these busy days and for strength throughout, hopefully and prayerfully, many happy years of married life together. Remember, O Lord, what you have done for us, and not what we deserve, and as you have called us to serve you, make us worthy of our calling. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Amen. Amen.